Manifested Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
On the street, on the air, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. We've had a series of phenomenal conversations and it's just going to get even better. If you have any questions around the budget process, yesterday we heard from the finance minister. We heard from some of the opposition parties and even partners in the GNU who said, we're not going to stand by this. This takes us to a process where the budget still needs to get the green light from the National Council of Provinces as well as National Assembly. There's structure to it and a formula that has been put in place for time and decades and for time on end. But of course, now that we're seeing perhaps a discourse and conflict and a lack of alignment between political parties and members of cabinet, this is where we're going to pay closer attention to understanding what happens now after the minister has delivered his budget speech. We're joined on the line by Professor Dumisani Tshantshis, Director of the Parliamentary Budget Office. Such a pleasure to speak to you again, sir. Thank you so much for making time, Prof.
Good afternoon, madam. Thank you so much for inviting me again. And these are very interesting times. Thank you so much. And good evening to
Definitely.
Your listeners as well.
Thank you so much, Professor Tshantshis. You and I were part of a panel discussion earlier this morning where I learned a lot from you, and hence the conversation we're having tonight. Just to reflect firstly on the role and function of the Parliamentary Budget Office. Some South Africans might not be familiar with the role and function of this organization. Remind us the purpose and mandate that you serve and why it remains critical to the budget process.
Thank you so much. Parliamentary Budget Office, Madam Gugu, and your listeners, is an entity of Parliament, which really was established as part of capacity within Parliament, recognizing the importance of having this technical capacity when processing the budget. Remember now, the Minister of Finance, together with the Minister of Finance, together with the bigger team they have, they go through so much process in preparing this budget. And once the Minister of Finance presented, as he did yesterday, then the Parliament process kick-starts. But then Parliament over the years have recognized, in line with the Constitution, that look, maybe some of the areas in the budget itself would require more time for members to go through them. Maybe it will be easier if you have an entity that specializes in macroeconomic policy, fiscal policy, and budget that really sits there and analyze and provide advice to Parliament to say, these are the issues that you need to look into, and these are the matters that requires further consideration. And that's really what the Budget Office does. So
yeah,
when the budget is presented like this, it's thrown to us to advise on it.
I love it. It's almost like you guys are, to simplify it for our listeners, the financial advisors who speak to cabinet to say, well, if we don't spend on this, then this is what we'll have to pull back on. These are the numbers we're dealing with. This is the capital that's been allocated, and this is how it will be dispersed. So you help us make, or rather you capacitate cabinet to make smarter decisions based on the budget proposals, but also giving them alternatives that might exist. I realize for many of us as South Africans, we're on a learning curve around this budget process, and perhaps we're going to learn and understand more about it now, because I assume for the first time now that we have a government of national unity, this is where there's potential conflict or disagreements in terms of the budget, because typically it would just be approved as there'd be a majority that would allow this segment to come through. Is my assumption correct? And does this, I guess, heighten the importance and role and function of your office so much more?
Thank you so much. You're well spot on in simplifying it. You're very spot on there, Google. You're correct. I think there's a different time that we're living in, certainly. And, you know, our sense is that what has happened in February building up towards now was also a blessing in disguise, in particular whereby it exposes the whole country to understand the process of budget and what goes into the budget, and also as an incentive to let us participate as South Africans into this process to say, hey, we can all contribute to this. And certainly entities like Budget Office, other SFCs, the role becomes even more elevated, particularly when you have contestations around what should go in and all of that. We are required to provide that insight that enable the debate to be more about the content in particular. So it's a very interesting times, and it's new for all of us. We've never had this. So it's very interesting. We had a brainstorm with the team this morning, and all I was thinking, what would be the worst case scenario?
Wow.
And what would you say then? You know. So it's very interesting indeed. I agree with you.
I agree. I'm glad you mentioned this, because it also gets us excited then as South African citizens, right? Because one of the biggest takeaways from the budget speech was the fact that VAT is going to increase by 50 basis points and by another 50 basis points next year, taking it to a cumulative, 1% increase and 16% by the year 2026-27. And for many South Africans, we might be sitting thinking, okay, next time I pick up an item of food or pay for a pair of shoes or submit my invoice, I need to adjust my VAT rate. But we are not yet there. So talk to us now. Does this mean that 50 basis points increase in VAT can still be, I guess, opposed and challenged by members of cabinet going forward?
It's a very interesting point, because what happens is that the parliament has promulgated a law called Money Bills and Related Matters Act in 2009. And this act really was set up specifically to guide parliament on the processing of the budget, you know, to say there will be four instruments that Minister of Finance present. You have your fiscal framework and the tax proposals, the first one, the second one, and those are the two combined. The second one being your division of revenue, which really looks at dividing the money generated among the three spheres, and the fourth one being appropriations bill. So each and every, which is more spending bill by national department. So those are sequential in that way as well, to say first and foremost, Parliament needs to consider or debate the fiscal framework and revenue proposals, which is where, fiscal framework is just an envelope to say, for this year, we've got this envelope, which set the level of spending, level of revenue, and level of debt for the next for the year, and also signaling the outer years as well. Now, once that envelope, it has to be debated between two houses of parliament, as you rightfully said in the introduction. So now that has to be sent to finance committees, where they will have to debate to say, okay, there's a VAT increase. Do we agree with the VAT increase? Or no, and what does that mean, and so on. And in that process, they depend and rely on a lot on advices, but also, most importantly, public submissions as well, because public, in a broader, in a very colloquial term, you know, they are required to submit, or they're allowed to submit their views about what should Parliament do in that regard. And once that is agreed upon, yes, to your point, that can still be challenged. It doesn't mean when it's presented yesterday by the Minister of Finance, it's a done deal. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. That can still be challenged by largely panel. Parliament can say, no, we don't want VAT. We actually want something else. Yes, there's still space to challenge that. But you're right. Okay. I think what has happened before is that many instances you've had, the same process was in place, by the way. The only thing is that you had one political parties, a huge majority, which were able to push through the policies, and all this debate were held. But I think the difference with now is that there isn't majority at this stage, which requires a lot of contestations between the coalition members, party, including those who are not in the coalition in parliament as well. Very interesting times, Google.
Very interesting times. And for many of us as South Africans, I guess, Prof. Jantjies, we are intrigued by the timelines. As you've mentioned, they're different bills. When are these presentations and discussions essentially held? And is there a time frame within which we need to get clarity on?
Yes, definitely. So I said there's four instruments, fiscal framework and revenue. That's the first ones. Since yesterday, when the minister presented, Parliament and National Assembly has 16 days to pass that act, that bill. So meaning that from today, tomorrow, the Minister of Finance will be briefing those committees in the House in the committees, joint committees. And next week, Tuesday, there'll be our briefing in FFC, and then Wednesday is public. So there's a very clearly set out time frame. Within 16 days, the report has to be tabled in the House to say Parliament is adopting or rejecting this fiscal framework. And that is when we'll set the next stage, because without this being adopted, there's no way we can move to next stage, which is the division of revenue, which requires further 35 days once this one is adopted. So yes, the Act allows Parliament to amend, to adopt, or to reject. So those are some of the dynamics that we'll have to see. 16 days time, listen to the House debate. But of course, you don't even have to wait for that. You can even follow the committee's discussions as well from now until the 60 days time, and the report will be public report as well.
Got you. And that's important because it allows us as South Africans to keep up with the debate and what is being discussed, given that it is focused on issues that will appear to be highly contested. But an interesting one, Professor Janjis, I can imagine you must be asked, what if Parliament can't pass the budget? What happens then if there's no agreement?
Yes, that's a good point. But I think what was very interesting is that the Act is very interesting. It allows for, it sort of envisioned this kind of setup where there will be contestations. So they can reject it. And once, let's say they reject it, then they send it back to the Minister of Finance, meaning that Minister of Finance will have to respond as well to say, okay, you've rejected it, this is my response. And then the process restart again, particularly when you're looking at it's at a starting stage, you know. So it's very good in a way that it does set the tone for that contestations, amendment rejections, and gives Minister of Finance some time to respond and so on and so forth. So it's a very nice in that way. I what I'm trying to say is that I'm not really convinced we'll have a crisis in a very particular way. But hey, if the contestation prolongs longer, maybe we must start getting worried. But the way the Constitution and the Money Bills Act has allowed that kind of contestation to take place, because even it says, even if you've not done it within 16 days, you can do it any reasonable time after that, which also recognizes that there might be need for space for further horse trading and so on. But I think for me, what was very important is the role of the public to participate in the space, firstly,
yes,
but also the markets and the predictability of the budget itself. That really becomes important because you want, we talk about tax, for example, you know, at times there's a specific time where they have to be factored in the tax system to allow the predictability of the system. So I think that's where we, you know, start thinking, hey, how are we going to deal with that? And my sense, when I listen to the debate discussions since yesterday, there's a quite recognition for that, and it seems there will be time where it gets to be finalized within a given time. But hey, I'm not a politician, you know, you never know what might happen.
100%. I'm so glad that you painted a picture that we don't need to panic, because from a legislative point of view, we do have some flexibility to deal with any loggerheads that might come through in terms of a disagreement in the budget. But there's an important aspect you mentioned around public participation. And for many of us as South Africans, we think, how do I influence the budget speech and actually tell National Treasury and Cabinet what to do with my money? Help us understand how we as the public can get involved, but most importantly, what, you know, how we follow through with that participation and if our voice will actually be heard.
Yes, that's a very good point. I think what I've said over the years in my view when I joined this entity many years ago was that public participation has always been a contested area to say, is it really been done effectively? And there's even a court case where Parliament was found wanting around that to say, you need to ensure that there is a public participation which is meaningful. But also, I think maybe it's also important to separate the two issues. There's an executive side of the budget process, which is the government, the cabinet, and there's a legislative side of the budget, which is Parliament and its processes. So once we skip that, like, so once yesterday passes, executive side of budget ends. Now only Parliament side starts, where it sounds as if the process starts from the scratch, you know, in concern the budget, which means you would have had the public participation in the government side, and now we're going to have a new public participation from the Parliament side, where Parliament is required by the constitution to consider public participation. Public are invited to send their inputs and oral. They can also request to do oral inputs into this process. That is in line with the law. So hence I'm saying what has happened over the past 3 weeks with the delays, in my view, has really created space for us as a society to debate, discuss how we can get our views heard. And there is process for that in the parliament process, where please invite as many as your listeners, Madam Fufi, to participate, to send their submissions to this process in parliament.
Definitely. In a moment, we'll be asking how we do that, just in terms of the communication details and where we can reach out. But just a reminder to our listeners, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Gugule Tumfupi. We are having a phenomenal and very important conversation with Professor Dumisani Jantjies, Director of the Parliamentary Budget Office, a critical organization. If you've never paid attention to it before, now more than ever, not only do you need to know the Parliamentary Budget Office, but also the individuals who play such an important role within this institution and its purpose within the vibrancy within our parliament, but most importantly, our economy. Yes, we've heard the budget speech being delivered by the finance minister yesterday. But as we know now, the budget is exactly that. It's a proposal of a spending plan. Members of parliament still need to agree, both from a legislative point of view, but of course, just in terms of outcomes for cabinet to actually pass the budget. But because they're different ministries and different clusters with different responsibilities, not everyone might fully understand the dynamics of how the budget is structured and the options available. So the budget parliamentary office plays a critical role in going back to members of cabinet and saying, hold on, this is what it means. Think of it in a very oversimplified way. I'm really simplifying it basically to say financial advisors for cabinet members to fully understand what options are available, the impact of the budget on the various portfolios, and most importantly, on South Africa's economy. Should they agree, things go ahead and, of course, the budget is implemented. But if not, then alternatives do need to be discussed and brought to the fore. For what we know now, we have about 16 days for these conversations to take place. Well, 15 left now, because today was day one. And Professor Jantjies and his team play a critical role in making sure that we see successful outcomes in terms of camaraderie and partnership. But most importantly, a better financial understanding of the budget allocations. And what you're describing, Professor Jantjies, I'm enjoying this so much because it's just the nerd in me, but more so because this plays such a critical role in our society for all of us to understand that it's not just about how the money is allocated, but it's understanding which options might be available and what trade-offs might work best for South Africa's economy. And maybe that takes us back to the importance of understanding the journey overall in terms of the curation and the delivery of a budget in South Africa. This is not just like drawing up a budget on the back of a piece of paper when you're sitting at a restaurant. There are processes involved, there's legislature involved, and full disclosure and governance involved, because these are public finances. So maybe just remind us again as South Africans to understand that the decisions that are made here are not taken lightly.
Absolutely. You're correct. I think the way we also look at it is to say, when the State of Nation Address is announced in by the president, the president will set the tone to say, we want to achieve this level of growth. We want to achieve these social development indicators, reducing inequality, create jobs, and ensure that state is capable of delivering its mandate. And really, clearly, those are crucial priorities that we set ourselves, and then he'll say the budget will guide us in realizing those things. And just from there, Madam Kuku, that tells you that the importance of the role of the budget in ensuring that as economy we function and as economy we deliver on these priorities. And what we do, we use that as a lens to say, let's look at the budget within this context to say the decision or the proposals that are made, are they really getting us to realize these priorities in the midterm development plan or the State of Nation Address in particular? And then we say, okay, yes, they are, or no, the shortfall of that and so on. And then we have to tell South Africans, yes, we will be able to realize that and not. And that for me, that is important in that context. The budget becomes important in that context. Hence, it takes so much time. When you look at how long government takes to prepare it, already when the year starts on 1st of April, you're really working on the priorities for the next MTA cycle and so on. So it's a very long-term process, which also, again, it allows predictability for the markets, from the investors, from many stakeholders who gets impacted in this regard. So from our perspective, it's important within that context. And I think for me, as I say, South Africans need to understand this and then takes ownership of this process and understand where our taxes go, how our taxes are used, and how our taxes used to transform our economy, society, and get us where we want to be as a country. You know, it's I think it's a good opportunity for that in this uncertain time.
Got you, Professor Jantjies. Many listeners might be thinking, hold on, if we don't review the consultations within the time frame, what happens if South Africa goes broke? Is that such a thing? In other words, help us understand how there's no risk of, I guess, us not yes. having a budget and not having money to allocate to resources.
I think that's a thesis a discussion. You know, let's have a dissertation around that. You know, No. What I'm trying to say, there's obviously been perception drawn that we in a crisis and so financial crisis and so on. But I think when you look at the literature, governments never run out of money, never get crisis. But also our constitution, actually, Madam Gugu, it does allow for us to continue functioning even if this process is not finalized. When you look at the Section 25 of the Public Financial Management Act, it does allow that from the 1st of April, which is the new financial cycle, government departments can start spending even if there's no approved budget yet. I think close to 45% of the money, 45% of the last year's spending, they can continue, particularly with essential services. And that can normally take up until 6 months or 4 months after the start of financial year. Already, we're talking about July. You can still have a space. I think that is important to recognize and understand.
Other distributions yes. like that can still be paid. Got you.
Yes, you know, salaries, pay the lights, things like that we can still do. Obviously, the issues that become a bit of a problem is your new projects, which we cannot necessarily do that until we get that approved, because it will be linked with more policy priorities for the new financial year. But those, regular current spending, you know, you mentioned financial current expenditure can still continue as you until the 45% of the last year, at the level of 45% of the previous spending. So there is that room that constitutions allow, but also money bills at, but also the Public Financial Management Act. I think for South Africans, we need to really encourage the process to move and say have our say within the process, knowing that there's still space for us to do that and still space to Parliament to process this yes. with the rules and the laws that are in place.
100%. Very briefly, how do we share our feedback, Professor Jantjies?
How do I share feedback? You know what? I was trying to look for it, but what I'll do is that what I'll say is that when you go to Parliament websites itself, mm-hmm. there are mechanisms. But what I'll do to be accurate, I'll make sure that in the morning I send that link or specific email addresses, so that you know your listeners can have access to that. I want it to be accurate, to be sure first before I send. But even the website itself, it does indicate how you do that. But also they do send invitations on local media, newspapers and so on. But I'll make sure you get the correct one in the morning tomorrow.
Ah, fantastic. Thank you so much, Professor Jantjies. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with you. You've helped teach me a thing or two, including many of our listeners tonight, just in understanding what happens now and providing clarity mm-hmm. to the legal structures and most importantly, the processes that have always been there, but perhaps just now are going to be receiving a greater level of focus given the lack of agreement and alignment from cabinet members. Thank you so much, Professor Jantjies.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thanks much. I appreciate it for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Good evening.
That's the Director of the Parliamentary Budget Office, Professor Dumsani Jantjies, joining us today to help us understand what happens now post the delivery of the budget. And as you've heard, 15 days ongoing deliberations from various parliament members giving us some details as to how this will be accepted or received. And from there, hopefully we have clarity in terms of the budget being voted for, in favour for.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.